Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm your host today, Ray Bolin, and with me is Dr. Jonathan Wells, author of Icons of Evolution and, more recently, Zombie Science. And we're going to talk with Dr. Wells today about a fairly recent trip to Brazil. Some of our listeners may be aware that there has been quite a flourishing of intelligent design activity in Brazil. So welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Happy to be here, Ray.
Well, I thought what I'd ask you to do first is, can you give us just a brief overview of some of the history of intelligent design in Brazil and how that actually got started and where it's at today?
Yes, well, it really started with one man at first, Inésio de Almeida Filho. He's a historian of science and a former Marxist. He was a very strong Marxist, and they got him to learn English so he could infiltrate various organizations. And in the process, he learned more about Marxism than they wanted him to. And so he left that and became interested in intelligent design when he read Philip Johnson's book, Darwin on Trial, in 1991. So Inésio and I started exchanging emails and did so until we finally met face-to-face last November.
Well, there's been some flowering, if you will, very recently in Brazil. They now have a Center for Intelligent Design or Brazilian Society for Intelligent Design. Could you just kind of summarize what that is and what they've been doing so far?
Yes. Well, Inésio started a blog in 1998 about intelligent design and attracted the attention of a very prominent Brazilian chemist, Marcos Eberlin, whose field is mass spectrometry. And he is at the University of Campinas near Sao Paulo. So he and Inésio started the Brazilian Society for Intelligent Design, which had its inaugural meeting in 2014. Then last year, in collaboration with the Discovery Institute in Seattle, the Mackenzie Presbyterian University in Sao Paulo opened a research center for intelligent design. And after that, they invited me to come down with my wife and give a series of lectures. It's quite prominent, quite large, it's very old, and is known for its excellence.
So what is it precisely that prompted them to invite you down in November?
Well, I think probably my book, Zombie Science, which came out last spring, around the same time they opened their center. Anyway, they were very kind to invite me down. My wife and I stayed for 10 days. I gave a talk at four different universities in and around Sao Paulo. It was the same talk each time. Zombie science, how discredited icons are being used to promote materialistic evolution.
And now, in general, for that particular presentation, how was that received in those opening days?
Oh, it was received very well. I sent my presentations ahead to be translated by Inésio, so the slides were all in Portuguese, and he would basically do most of the talking, and I would answer questions that he would translate afterwards. The audiences were quite large, professors and students mainly, ranging from 60 to 200. And to my surprise, the Q&A was always very lively. People weren't shy about talking about it at all.
Now, when you say lively, was that just meaning lots of different kinds of questions? People were expressive? Was there any hostility ever expressed?
No hostility whatsoever, much less than I would have gotten here in the United States.
Well, so you said you were there for 10 days, and what was the overall schedule that they had planned for you?
Well, the day after we arrived, Marcos and his wife gave my wife and me a tour of Sao Paulo, which was nice. The following day was a Sunday, and I was invited to a local Presbyterian church to speak after the service. And I did. Spoke about science and intelligent design. And even there, the audience was quite active in the Q&A. Probably the best question, I think, came from a father who was there with his two teenage children, and he asked what's the best thing to do to counter the fact that Darwinism is pushed in the schools?
Mm-hmm.
And if ID comes up, it's just brought up to be criticized. And he thought maybe ID should be required teaching.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I don't think so. I think the best thing to do is teach more about Darwinism, specifically all the evidence against it. So that was how that went.
Yeah, as we usually like to say, we are actually pushing for more evolution to be taught. In other words, more of the so-called evidence and some of the counter-evidences, and that would fulfill what we would want to do at the moment.
No, that's it. And that's exactly what I think is the best strategy.
Okay. Well, you mentioned in your article on Evolution News that there was a fairly significant symposium that was sponsored by the Institute there for Intelligent Design. So tell us a little bit about that.
Actually, the symposium was sponsored by the Brazilian Society for Intelligent Design that Nezio and Marcos had founded. After giving the four lectures at universities in and around Sao Paulo and the talk at the church, my wife and I flew up to Fortaleza, a city on the east coast of Brazil, very close to the equator. Beautiful place.
Hmm.
And there, the society had its symposium, quite a large meeting, over 400 people.
Wow.
And it went on for 2 days. And I started things off by talking about, is ID science or religion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I talked about science. It can mean different things. It can mean searching for truth by testing hypotheses against the evidence, is the way I see it. For some people, it can mean finding natural explanations for everything, which is really just applied materialistic philosophy. Well, ID is science in the first sense, but not in the second.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, for some people, Darwinism has become a religion in the sense that materialism underlying it has become a non-negotiable belief item. One has to have faith in it to function. So in that sense, that broad sense, Darwinism could be a religion. And that's what my talk was about.
Okay. So what was the general response to that? I imagine there was another lively question and answer time.
Very, very favorable.
Okay.
And Ezio, of course, did the translating. At one point in the evening, someone asked, well, is there any hope, you know, given the dominance of Darwinism in the schools and the universities? And Marcos asked me to answer the question, of course, translated through Ezio.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a passage from Zombie Science where I talked about how, as a boy, I used to ice skate on a nearby pond in the wintertime, my friends and I.
Mm-hmm.
But as spring approached, the ice would become honeycombed with water. And so although it still looked thick, we knew it wasn't strong enough to hold us, and we stayed off it. And I said, materialistic science, a.k.a. Darwinism, is like spring ice. It looks strong and thick, but it's actually quite weak, and I think it will soon melt. And the audience loved that.
The operative word there is soon. We have to keep that fairly general, don't we?
Yeah. Well, sooner the better, but who knows when.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm working with groups or in front of an audience or so forth, and I get that kind of question, I do often make the comment, though, that it's quite likely that some form of evolution is always going to be around. Because those who have a fairly materialistic or naturalistic worldview will still need some kind of naturalistic process for their creation story, if you can put it that way. And we may be able to dispel with Darwinism in its current forms and its various offshoots, but those individuals in science will still have to find something, some kind of natural explanation. Do you think that's likely to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, people like that have been around for thousands of years. There are ancient evolutionary theories, if you want to call them that. And sure, they'll still be with us, but what I want to see is the end of the dominance of our academic institutions and our scientific institutions.
And that is something we can possibly see. And that's what we're looking for.
Yes, that's what I would like to see.
Okay. Well, you mentioned an interesting anecdote at the end of this symposium that suddenly you had a lot of people who wanted to take pictures with you, wanted you, and you're taking selfies, all that sort of thing. So I think you mentioned it's the most pictures after lecture you've ever had. So what was that all about?
Well, it's true. I've given talks in, you know, all over the world on this and other subjects. And, you know, the Japanese, for example, are famous for taking pictures, and they do it a lot. But at this conference in Fortaleza, I had my picture taken with more people than I ever had before anywhere. And I asked Marcos about it, and he said he encouraged people to do that and put up the photos on Facebook and, you know, various other social media to spread the word. And he said his goal was to make ID so well-known and so popular that by the time the materialists got their act together to attack it, it would be too big to stop.
Uh-huh. Well, great strategy.
Yeah, it seems to
be
working,
too. Well, that's terrific. I always like to see those kind of things working. So how would you sum up overall your trip and the state of intelligent design in Brazil?
Well, I was very impressed. It's been a long time since I've gotten so much respectful give and take from people, especially academics. Mm-hmm. These were professors and students.
Mm.
And so I'm very encouraged by the growth of interest in ID in Brazil. And it's, you know, to someone who lives here in the United States where the opposition is fierce, it's just very encouraging.
Hmm. So it looks like they have some good prospects down there.
Yes, and they're going to be doing research at this center at McKenzie Presbyterian University. So I think some good things are going to come of that.
Well, that's tremendous. So glad you were able to take advantage of that invitation. And thank you for your time today. And I just want to remind everyone that this is ID the Future, the podcast about evolution and intelligent design. Our guest today has been Dr. Jonathan Wells, and I'm your host, Ray Boland. So thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.